Okay, well, it's going to be easy to find your place tonight because we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. All right? And so I am excited about this Bible study. You say, how long are we going to be studying through Genesis? I have no idea. Okay? And I do not know how long we'll be. All I know is there's a lot of interesting things in this book, not just creation, a lot of different neat Bible characters we'll meet as we journey through Genesis, but we're going to start right here at the beginning, and we're not probably even going to get out of verse 1 tonight, all right? We're going to be the first verse and spend some time here and just diving into some great Bible truth here. So stand with me, if you will, as we read this verse here with just a few words. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Amen. Let me read it again. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done for us, God. Thank you so much as we begin to go to Genesis and begin our walk through this book. And God, help us, Lord. Speak to us. Teach us some things. Thank you for being such an amazing, wonderful God. And again, Lord, just thank you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Genesis is the book of beginnings. And it records the beginning, of course, of the heavens and the earth and the plant and the animal and human life. But it also records the beginning of human institutions and relationships. And the book of Genesis was written by Moses. In fact, Moses was the author of the first five books of the Bible. And sometimes that's called the Pentateuch. I'm not for sure exactly why they refer to that, but that's kind of what it's referred to as. But Moses, we know that because Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, he said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." Okay, so Jesus, when he was explaining to people, especially the disciples on the road, the Emmaus Road, he specifically began at Moses and then the prophets. So Moses is the author of this book. And of course, God at some point, through inspiration, had Moses pen these books. And so we're going to look here tonight and at verse 1, and we're going to talk about some things specifically about God, okay? Now, first of all, let me say this. God, here's the first point tonight. God has always existed, okay? All right, that's what the first introduction says, "In the beginning, God." All right, now that's a question you get a lot, okay, as you're out talking to people. Well, where did God come from? All right. Surely God had to come from somewhere. And here's the thing. As human beings, we are limited by time. We're limited by space. We're limited by matter. But God's limited by none of those things. Okay. In the beginning, God. God has always existed. Okay. God was before anything else. Now, there's a lot of scripture that backs this up. I won't have you turn to everything, but I'll read some of them to you. Okay. God, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So the Bible tells us in other places that Jesus and God were, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Godhead, was there before life began. Okay, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So here's the thing, understand this, that God has always existed. God was in the beginning. Okay, there's other places in the Bible where he describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega. Well, what is that Alpha and Omega? Well, if you know anything about Greek, you know that Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega is the last letter. Okay, and so he was before anything that human beings can even comprehend, God was. You say, well, where'd God come from? He's always been. Okay, he didn't come from anywhere. He's always been. All right, you say, well, I can't understand that. You know what my pat answer to that is, right? Be glad you have a God that you can't wrap your mind around. Because if you could, he wouldn't be much of a God. All right? So God was in the beginning. From eternity past to eternity future, he has been and always will be God. Okay? He's always been and always will be God. Okay, from eternity past, before this all came about, the world, he's been God. All right? When time is all done with and we're in heaven with him forever, he's still going to be God. There's never going to be a time where he's not going to be God. Okay? He's always has been and always will be. I'll give you a couple references on this. The Bible says in Psalms 41:13, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." Okay? I mean, what's that mean? Well, it means everlasting. What's everlasting mean? It means everlasting. That's what it means, all right? From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." So remember this. Before God even created anything, he's God. Okay, never forget that, all right? From eternity past to eternity future, he is God. Remember this about him. God is eternal, okay? That means he has no beginning and no ending. Again, the Bible backs this up. I don't have time to read all of them, but I'll give you one of them. 1 Timothy 1:17, the Bible says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." All right? He is eternal. And by the way, you know what? So are we. We're eternal. You know why? Because we're made in his image. And now the thing is, you're either going to have eternal life or eternal death. But you know what? Man is a living soul. That means we're eternal. We're going to live somewhere in eternity forever. I don't know about you, but I want to live with God, not absent from God. Amen? God, the name here for God is the name Jehovah. And it means the eternal one. All right, that's what that means. Jehovah, the eternal one. It means that he is self-existent is what that means. Okay, he caused us to exist, but nothing caused him to exist. You say, again, what? How can that be? It's just the way it is. Okay. And by the way, don't be so in your mind think that you have to totally understand God in order to accept him. That's not the way it is. Okay, by the way, there's a lot of things in life that we accept whether we totally understand or not. Okay, aside from Brother Dave, I couldn't explain to you exactly how when I turn that ignition key in my car, everything starts up and it works and drives down the road and does everything it's supposed to do. I mean, look, I don't in my mind say, well, since I don't know how it works, I'm not going to drive anywhere. No way. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't know about y'all. I don't exactly understand electricity either. I mean, how in the world can, you know, a power plant, who knows how far from here, all right? I don't even know if we get our power from the one down here by the river or not. It comes from somewhere. How in the world does a power plant miles and miles away, sometimes hundreds of miles away, depending on where you live, cause me to be able to flip a switch and lights come on? I don't know. I can't explain it. All I know is I don't have to understand it in order to accept it and benefit from it. Amen? God is self-existent. He's the self-existent one, okay? What's interesting here, also, as you begin reading through the first chapter of Genesis, is that you see all three persons of the Trinity involved in creation, okay? Now, again, I've taught you this before. You don't see the word Trinity in the Bible, but just because it's there doesn't mean the principle's not there, all right? Let me show what I'm talking about, okay? Look here with me in Genesis, the second verse. I said we were only going to go look at the first verse, but we're going to look at a couple more, all right? Look at the second verse here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Look at this next phrase. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So here you see the Holy Spirit involved in creation. And then look down at verse 4, all right? "And God saw the light, and it was good, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." Okay, so here you have God the Father involved. And then if you go to John chapter 1, you don't obviously have to turn there, but here's what it says about Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word," it's speaking about Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Listen to this verse. "All things were made by Him, and without was not anything made that was made." So in creation, you see the Spirit of God involved, you see God the Father involved, and you see God the Son involved. Again, folks, further proof that God is three in one. Again, you say, explain it. I just did. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Okay? That's about as best as I can do. Okay? That's a part of God that's not maybe totally explainable, but you don't have to explain it and understand it to accept it. All right? Notice here back in Genesis, look at verse 26. Notice the pronoun here. And God said, let, what's that next pronoun there? Us. Third person. Okay? Talking about more than one. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Okay? Is God schizophrenic? Did he make a mistake when he said that? No. He's talking to the Godhead. Okay? Look down, if you flip over to Genesis chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but verse 22, again, God says the same thing. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. All right? So, even for the very beginning, the very mention of God, creation, the Trinity is clearly seen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now listen, we as finite human beings cannot comprehend God who is infinite. All right? Listen, you're not going to totally comprehend God. To us, everything has a time of beginning and ending. All right? I mean, human beings, our great limitation is time, right? I mean, y'all could testify to that, okay? Nobody has enough time to do anything, do they? Time is our limitation. But you know what? God exists outside of time. Now, we can't comprehend it because anything and everything we know is bound by time. Everything has a beginning. Everything has an end. But you know what? God's the one that started time. God's the one that's going to end time, okay? The Bible tells us Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it says, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are. Listen, that there should be time no longer. So God gets to decide when time started, and God gets to decide when time ends, okay? Because he's God. So again, let me just say this to you, and this is where a lot of people get hung up at. A lot of these self-proclaimed, deep thinker types. Okay, these pseudo intellectuals. They think they're smart because they got book knowledge, and they just can't comprehend a God. And they say that our religion's a crutch, and all this other things that they say. Well, if I can't understand it, then I'm not going to believe it. Listen to me. If you have that attitude, then you're not going to believe in God. Because the Bible says we have to approach God by faith. All right? Now, one of these days, you're not going to have to live by faith anymore. Guess what? When you get to heaven, the faith part of it's over. Because you can finally see. You can finally experience with your senses. Right now, it's by faith. Amen? And so listen, don't get so caught up in the fact that God is so far beyond me that I don't think I can understand him, so I can't believe in him. Listen, God has given you enough faith to believe in him. Okay, remember the other day I talked about that mustard seed type faith? Okay, remember that? The faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed? And I didn't mention this, and I probably should have, but think about this. The Bible also tells us that God gives every man a measure of faith. Okay? So you know what? God even gives you the faith that you need to believe in him. He even gives that to you. Okay? And so just believe in God. Be thankful that there's a God out there that's greater and bigger than us and has everything under control. All right? So the first point from Genesis 1:1 is God has always existed. Here's the second point. God created everything. Okay? God created everything. Notice again what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? God created it all. Now, you say, why did God create everything? Well, the Bible tells us why he created it. He created it for his own pleasure. Okay? Listen, God could have done it any way he wanted to, but he chose to do it the way he did for a reason. One of those reasons is for his pleasure. God gets pleasure when mankind chooses to reciprocate the relationship back to him. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. This thought, when this came to my mind one day, it totally just almost, transformed my Christian life, all right? I want you to think about something. God, obviously, because he has foreknowledge, he knew what was going to happen before he even spoke anything into existence. He knew that, okay? Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world, okay? So the plan of God, God didn't one day just, when mankind got the mess they were in, start wringing his hands and figuring out, oh no, what we're going to do. I mean, man messed it up. How are we going to fix this? No. God already had it figured out before he even reached down his hands and formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. Okay? So God knew in his foreknowledge what man was going to be and what man was going to do. God in his foreknowledge could look through the annals of time, and he knew that when he created man, in just 2,000 years, he'd have to destroy all of them except for eight because of the wickedness mankind was going to be involved in. God knew that. God could look through the annals of time and he could see that when his son came, what they were going to do to his son. He could see that. God could look through time and see all the horrible atrocities man has committed down through the centuries. God knew before he made man that, you know what, there was going to be over 60 million babies aborted in the name of choice in America in 2018. He knew that. He knew how wicked the Sodomite crowd would be and how wicked the perverse heathen crowd would be. God knew all of that stuff. But you know what blew me away when I thought this? He decided to make us anyway. Why would he do that? Think about it. I mean, come on, folks. If we had the knowledge God had, I mean, if we knew that if we involved ourselves in certain relationships, the trouble it was going to be, okay, then you know what? You know, a lot of us wouldn't, you know, we would take another path, wouldn't we? Okay, I'm sure we would. But you know what? Here's why I believe, and the Bible tells us this, why God puts up with all of that. Because when mankind chooses to love God back and communicate back with God and have a relationship with God, he gets so much pleasure out of that relationship, all the other stuff was worth it to him. Think about that. So that means this. When you as a Christian have a daily relationship with him, and you learn and you begin to walk with him like we've taught about, you begin to fellowship with him, you are helping, if you will, God cope with all the wickedness going on down on this earth. You know the Bible says he's angry at the wicked every day. You know God's an emotional God. Did you know that? Okay, read the Bible. You know how many times when he was dealing with Israel, the Bible says his anger was kindled. Moses talked God out of destroying all the nation of Israel and starting over with Moses. Okay? God's an emotional God. Remember, we're made in his image, his likeness. Now, he's without sin, obviously, okay, unlike us. But yet, listen, God feels, God has a mind, God has a heart. I mean, listen, folks, the things we experience and the feelings we have toward other people, God feels those types of things. And so when you please him and you choose to love him and you choose right over wrong and you say, God, I'm going to seek you. God, I want to know you more, God. I want my life to be what you'd have it to be. God gets so much pleasure from that you know what? He can overlook all the garbage going on in this world because of the few people who bring that kind of pleasure to him. Now listen, you know what that motivates me to do? Be that type of Christian. Amen. Be the type of Christian that when my Heavenly Father looks down, he doesn't have to shake his head at. His heart doesn't have to break over. He doesn't have to weep tears over because of my life. Now, I can't choose what anybody else does. I can't make anybody else do anything. But you know what? I can choose how I'm going to live my life as a Christian. Amen. And so God created mankind for his pleasure. Not only that, according to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, he created man for his glory. Let me tell you, folks, what our lives need to be doing. Bringing glory to God. People ought to look at us, and they ought to look at us and say, wow, what a God they serve. Our lives simply ought to reflect glory back to him. Now, of course, mankind, we mess all that up. We're just the opposite, aren't we? All right? Instead of trying to glorify God, we glorify ourselves. All right? And that's never the way it ought to be. And so God created us for his pleasure, for his glory. And according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, he created us for his son, Jesus Christ, specifically the church. Okay? And I alluded to this a few weeks ago when I was talking about the importance of the church. But listen, you know, we don't understand how precious the church is to Christ. I mean, how precious, gentlemen, was, and hopefully still is, all right, your bride when you first married her. How precious was she to you? And hopefully still is, amen, all right? But I mean, listen, it's precious. I mean, I can't think of a closer relationship than the communion and the way we get along than me and my wife. By the way, that's the way God intended for it to be, amen? All right, and that's a precious thing when it's that way. But listen, marriage is simply a reflection of the relationship Jesus Christ has with His church. And God created us for His Son, Jesus Christ. All right? You say, well, if God created everything, what about this theory of evolution that's going around? Okay? Because you know what? Anybody that, when you start talking about creation, they start throwing out that word evolution out there. All right. In fact, if you go to most public schools, that's how they're going to teach that where the origin of the universe. And by the way, anytime you read anything that starts saying millions and billions of years, let me just say that's the false theory of evolution. Okay. And this theory, by the way, that's exactly what it is. A theory, okay, is being crammed down the throats of our young people so much now. That, you know what, that's what they sincerely believe they came from. They believe that we evolved from lower life forms. Well, they believe that we came from a big bang. They believe that we came from monkeys. Let me tell you something, that's a bunch of malarkey. Bunch of garbage, amen? It's hogwash. Hey, that's what my pastor used to say. That's hogwash, amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. You know, there are four basic proofs of God. That would be in nature itself. That's creation, design, art, and order. For example, every time you see something, let's just say, for example, like a shirt, okay? You know that it had a creator. Okay, I mean, this shirt that I'm wearing tonight, okay? You know, it didn't just appear out of thin air. I mean, there's probably some, you know, five-year-old kids in China who made it, all right? But no, this shirt had a creator, and that makes sense to us, okay? Every time you see something like a watch, you know it had a designer. I mean, have you ever taken apart something so intricate like a watch and opened it up, especially, you know, like a Swiss-made watch or something like that? I mean, there are thousands of small moving parts in that. I mean, everything we see, we know it had a designer. Every time you see a piece of artwork, you know that there was an artist. Every time you see something that's ordered, like for example, these chairs in this room tonight. Listen, these didn't just appear out of nowhere. I mean, if they are sitting in neat rows, so many per row, there's a reason. Because they were designed, somebody had to put them in that order. And you know what? When you look at the universe, you know what you see? You see creation, design, art, and order. You see all of those things. I mean, just last week when I was out west hunting, all of those things were just all over where I was at. I mean, it was beautiful, beautiful landscape. We're in western Oklahoma. We were 10 miles from the Texas border. And it was once we got to about mid-Oklahoma, the landscape chart started changing. And it went from really eastern Oklahoma, a lot like the Midwest. But man, as soon as we got to on the other side of Oklahoma City, the whole landscape changed. And it was just beautiful. And as I was sitting out there at night, and we were the first place I was sitting, I was so far out in the middle of nowhere, I could hear no man-made noises. That was cool. I mean, the ranch we were at was an hour and a half off the interstate, and once we got to the ranch, we were about another 20-30 minutes into the wilderness to where we were hunting at. And as I sat there at night, specifically last Thursday night, it was a beautiful, while y'all were suffering through the Midwest rain, you know, I was suffering for Jesus in about 75 degree weather, amen. And I was sitting there last Thursday night, in fact, exactly this time, because we were on the same time. And I was sitting there and I looked out and I saw the sun going down. And I saw the sky starting to turn pink. And I looked all around me and I saw the river flowing beside me. And I just, listen, that spoke to me. I mean, what was that? It was creation. It was design. You know, it was God's artwork. Okay? God ordered it all. I mean, the sun went down at a certain time. It came up at a certain time. Listen, everywhere you look is evidence of a creator. You know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. Don't let evolutionists tell you they're atheists. No, they're not. They have faith. They just have faith in the wrong thing. Okay? You say, well, doesn't evolution prove the Bible false? I've heard that before. Well, let me give you a four-step process to prove that evolution cannot be true. First of all is the process called probability. All right, y'all know what probability is. All right, let's say, for example, you had a cup of a cup that had 20 dice in it, okay? Each labeled with a letter of the alphabet. And let's say you wanted to roll the dice and those 20 would come out in alphabetical order. All right? Now, scientifically, if that were to happen, the chance for that to happen is 1 in 2.4 times 10 to the 18th. Okay, what that means is, that means there's a bunch of zeros at the end of a number. That's what that means. Okay? I mean, literally, you got one in about, 1.8 million times for that to happen. Okay? And that's only for 20 things to occur in order. You know, we have 206 bones in our body. How long would it take for them to appear in order? For 200 things to occur in order, the probability is 1 in 10 to the 375th. And you know, scientists, mathematicians say that anything 10 over 10 to the 50th is impossible. So what's that mean? It means this. It's totally impossible for our bodies to have randomly, haphazardly just appeared and everything be in the order that it's in. It's impossible. Mathematically, it's impossible. Okay? You know, there'd be a better chance, in order for evolution to be true, for a tornado to go through a junkyard, and when it went through, there's a brand new Mercedes-Benz sitting as a result of that tornado going through a junkyard. You got a better chance of that happening than you did your body evolving from nothing. Okay, so probability proves evolution false. How about this? You hear this all the time. The fossils. You know the fossil record proves evolution false? Darwin stated that the fossil record should have millions of transitional fossil forms to show that evolution is true. Interestingly enough, the fossil record, listen to this, doesn't contain one single transitional form. It only contains complete kinds, but no transitional forms. Okay? That means this. That means something that has to transition from one species to another. Okay, listen, folks. I don't care how many times you put a cat and a dog in a room together, you're never going to get a dat. All right? Just doesn't happen. Okay? They're two different kinds. There's no mixing there. All right? Now, certain kinds can mix. Like, for example, you can mix a lion with a tiger and get a liger, but they're both of the feline family. Follow me? Okay? So the fossil record proves evolution's false. How about this? You hear this all the time. Missing links, right? The missing links. You know every supposed link that's been found to link human beings to apes has been proven false? Does anybody know what the most famous missing link that's been out there that's been debunked? Anybody know the name of it? Lucy, that's correct. And it was an ape that was supposedly the missing link that they unearthed somewhere. And that was it. That was it. Well, come to find out, that wasn't it. It was just an ape. Okay? It was falsified. By the way, isn't it interesting that they have to try to falsify their beliefs to get everybody to believe their lies? Okay? Piltdown Man, that's another one. So listen, by the way, why are there no missing links today? How come there's no half creatures? Right? Although I've seen some people act like animals, but there really are no half creatures, okay? They're not there, okay? So listen, all those things prove that evolution, scientifically, evolution is false. But you know what? Even if none of those things were true, guess why I know evolution's false? In the beginning, God created, that's why. Okay, I don't care if there was no scientific evidence. The Bible says it, amen? You say, well, isn't that just blind faith? You can call it what you want. I believe what the Bible says, amen? There used to be an old song that sometimes people would sing. It said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, actually, that's wrong. You know why? Because God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Amen? All right? And so listen, God created everything. Okay? God created everything. Now, because of that, all mankind should turn to the Creator. Okay? Let me tell you why God does certain things in life. Because he's trying to get people to turn to him. You know God does not want to bring judgment. Did you know that? The Bible says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There's another verse that says the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. God would rather not judge someone to him, but would rather bless someone to him. Do you know that? What a merciful God we have. He would much rather someone turn to him through goodness than through judgment. Listen, all mankind should turn to the Creator. God is a faithful Creator. Amen? Now, the last point we want to cover tonight for the last few minutes is this. And Genesis tells us this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And as we begin studying this out, you know how God created? By the way, God is so powerful. I mean, He could have created any way He wanted to. I mean, He could have, you know, had the angels come down and create if He would have wanted to. God could have done it any way. But the Bible tells us here that God spoke everything into existence. Okay, He spoke it into existence. Now, I'm going to show you something here, and there's a lot of verses I'm skipping over because we don't have time. But this is a really neat thing here, okay? Look with me in verse 9, okay? I'm sorry, verse 6, all right? Notice what it says, the first part of it. The first three words, what are they? Let's read them together. You ready? And God said, all right? And God said, all right? And He begins creating, and God said, then look down here at the end of verse 7, the last four words. What's it say? And it was so. And God said, and it was so. All right, look at verse 9, the end of it. The beginning of verse 9. And God said, the end of it, and it was so. Verse 11, and God said, the end of it, and it was so. Verse 14, and God said, the end of verse 15, and it was so. Verse 24, and God said, the end of it, and it was so. All right, that's how He created, amen? And God said, and it was so. That's the power of the words of God. And by the way, one of these days when He comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, you know, the famous battle everybody talks about and Hollywood's making movies over and all that and getting it all wrong. Okay, when the armies of the world are gathered to try to fight against King Jesus, who's going to split the sky on His horse, and as Christians, we're going to be following on our white horses. Amen. Come on. Can't wait for it. If you don't like riding horses, then you're not going to like heaven very much. Amen. I mean, you're going to get a chance to ride them big old white stallions behind King Jesus. Man, makes me get excited just thinking about it. All right. So He comes back. He splits the eastern sky. All the armies of the world are gathered in that great valley of Megiddo there outside of Israel. And they're going to fight against Him. They got all their weaponry there. Maybe they got the nuclear weapons pointing to heaven. I mean, it's all there to fight and destroy King Jesus. You know what the Bible says He does? He destroys them with the word, with the sword of His mouth. He speaks. And you know what the Bible says happens to all those armies gathered? When He speaks, literally, their flesh melts off their body. It says that their eyes melt into their eye sockets. Their flesh literally turns into pools of blood. And the blood's going to flow through that valley, 200 miles long, about 15 miles wide, and about 10 foot deep. The blood's going to flow. All because He speaks. That's the power He has, amen? And that's how He brought this world into existence. He spoke it into existence. All right? What an amazing, wonderful God we have. All right? And so that's how this thing began. Amen? It began by God. It began by Him speaking. It began by His power to begin this thing. And as we travel here through the book of Genesis, we're going to look at specifically how God created, why He created, and then I'm going to show you not just what He did, but I'm going to show you the principles behind why He did it. Okay? Because by the way, there are principles there. All right? For example, I'll just show you one real quick. All right? And I won't spend a lot of time on it because we don't have a lot of time. But we see here, look at verse 4. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God, look at that next word. What's that word? Divided the light from the darkness. You know this whole idea about Christians being light and the world being dark and Christians being separated from the world? God started that back in Genesis. The principle of separation. He created light. And then, you know, by the way, darkness, what is darkness? Darkness is simply the absence of light. That's all it is. And God, when He created light, He then made a divide between the light and the darkness. And as we travel through this book, we're going to look at all kinds of principles like that. And so, but anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. In the beginning, God. Just remember that right there. In the beginning, God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love You.